I don't have that third party perspective sometimes because it's always been a part of my life. And I'm just like, okay. So like saying eh is like not normal.
What's up, Kodakata Squad? Welcome back to the podcast. This week we talked to Mayuko, who is a Japanese American content creator and makes videos about software engineering and her life living in California. She's worked at fan companies, and we talk about what it's like growing up Japanese American, going to Japanese school in America, and a lot of cultural aspects of Japan in this podcast.
But you know what else we talk about in this podcast? Absolutely destroying the like button, but also following us on Twitter.
Yeah, I'm not sure if we talked about that in the podcast, but yeah, make sure to do that and hope you guys enjoy the podcast. Yeah, so Mayuko, can you give us a quick background of who you are and where you're at today?
Sure. So my name is Mayuko. I am a content creator. I'm actually a software engineer turned content creator. I'm originally from San Diego. I'm second generation Japanese. I grew up speaking Japanese. My parents taught me Kansai-ben and stuff. But yeah, now I make content on YouTube primarily about like the tech industry, software engineering careers, and lifestyle videos. So yeah, that's me.
I guess, like, what was it like growing up speaking both Japanese and English
in America? Yeah. So, my parents, both Japanese, both, like, came to the U.S. to, like, study here for grad school. And so, growing up, like, me and my brother, there was, like, a very strict, like, only Japanese in the house kind of rule, which is, like, very common, I feel like, to, like, anybody who speaks a second language. And, right. You know, I think, like, when up until you probably enter kindergarten, it's like not that big of a difference because it's like you're mostly home all the time and like you go to preschool and stuff, but like you're just playing with kids and language doesn't really matter. And then as soon as like elementary school hits, it's like, okay, now there's like an outside language and an inside language. And so my parents put me into Japanese school for like a few years in elementary school, and like it was fun at the time, right? You're learning like basic kanji and you're learning songs and stuff like that. And then when the kyokasho, like the textbook, starts getting really hard, it becomes like a chore. And then we also I moved a lot, and so we ended up like not going to Japanese school, and my parents taught us Japanese at home, but like I dreaded it a lot because it was like, why do I have to study when my friends are out playing or like, I don't like just enjoying their weekend. So growing up, it was kind of hard, I think. Just like I'm like looking back on it, I'm really, really grateful that my parents taught me Japanese and they had this kind of like really like strong structure of like, this is what's going to happen in our house and like outside of the house, like you can speak English, whatever. But it definitely led to a lot of like cultural identity conflict and like figuring out who I am as a Japanese person and as an American person and figuring out how language fits into all of that. And I'm not like college level kanji expert by any means, but I found that like even after, you know, I graduated high school and graduated college and like now I don't live with my parents, I'm finding that I'm trying to like involve Japanese more into my life because it's something that I don't really want to lose. Like now it's just such an important part of me, and I think it's cool to be able to speak multiple languages. You know, you get to express yourself in so many different ways. And I speak like my primary dialect being Kansai-ben, it's like it's such a soul language. Like I just think there's something about Kansai-ben that's just like so like connective. And also really funny because I love like oarai and comedy and stuff like that. So yeah, I'm definitely trying to have it more in my life.
Can you speak in like Hyojungo? Wait, if you have to.
Dude, like honestly, I couldn't for the longest time. In the last 2 years, I've gotten much better at it. Before I would literally just like simple questions, you know, of just like something I don't know, like is this tea hot or something like that? I could not say that in Hyojungo for the life of me. I'd be like, kono kocha atsui. And then I was just like, wait, how do you, and then it would sound really weird because it'd be like, kono kocha atsui. And then like, it's just really hard. I think like a lot of Kansai speakers, I think, can't speak Hyojungo, but I've gotten better at it. And I've also found that people are actually kind of like accepting of my Kansai-ben. Like, they're like, you grew up in the States, but you speak Kansai-ben? Like, what the heck? Like, nani mono? And I'm just like, yeah,
yeah. I've seen you've given, like, presentations before. So did you...
Right.
Like, did you try to give in, like, Hyojungo?
Dude, I tried my best, yeah. Like, the presentation that I did... I did a talk at a tech conference, which is maybe the one that you saw, in 2018. And, like, my mom is pretty good at Hyojungo. My dad at the time was kind of, like, also in this kind of, like, I'm trying, but it's hard because I've speak Kansai-ben all my life. And so I took a lot... I literally, like, I was like, Mom, can you walk me through my presentation? Because my intonation sucks. And so I recorded it, and so, like, during the presentation, I tried my best to, like, mimic her intonation and stuff like that. But then there are some parts where, like, the Kansai-ben just, like, slips out because I just go back to my brain default. But, yeah, it's hard. I don't know what it is. I think it's just, like, before, all of my Japanese interaction was in Kansai-ben because it was with my parents or family. But nowadays, like, doing more work in Japanese and, like, talking to Japanese people to do, like, content stuff, I'm just like, oh, okay, like, this is what Hyojungo sounds like, so, like, I can try that on my own.
No, I think that's one of the hardest parts of Japanese. Like, a lot of the learners we talk to, like, because they're trying to, like, the missing piece in their Japanese is pitch accent.
Totally. I love, like, it's, you know, I think it, like, one of the ways that I stay connected is, like, I watch a lot of, like, Japanese YouTube as well, and, like, it's fun watching the ones that are also about, like, language learning. So I love watching Dolgen because, like, he does that kind of, like, you know, like, talk about pitch accent, and I'm just like, wow, that makes a huge difference, and I didn't realize that it did because, like, you know, I have friends who are just like, hey, am I saying this right? And I'm just like, there's something off and I can't put a finger on it. And, like, it usually had to do with pitch accent now that I think about it.
Right. I find it pretty funny, like you mentioned during the talk, is I could just imagine you being like, all right, don't let out the Kansai-ben.
Literally, yes. Because it's also like, you know, I've never really lived in Japan for a long time. And so, like, I don't even really have the cultural context of, like, how do people perceive you when you speak your native dialect? Compared to Hyojungo, and, like, a lot of people that I know, you know, I meet them and they're speaking perfectly good Hyojungo, and then I'm like, oh, where'd you grow up? And they're like, oh, I grew up in Kobe. And I'm just like, so you speak Kansai-ben? Like, how do you, to me, I'm just like, honestly, it kind of feels like assimilation a little bit of just like, okay, like, you have to kind of speak the Hyojungo so that, like, everyone understands you or something. But I'm also just like, there must be something about how people perceive you differently depending on your dialect, right? And, like, I just don't have that cultural context because I never lived in Japan. I've never been, like, told, like, dude, stop speaking Kansai-ben. And so I think that's also been that's kind of one of the interesting things of just like, is it okay for me to speak Kansai-ben? But at that presentation, I was just like, this is a very serious technical talk to 1,000 Japanese software engineers who, like, probably don't know who I am. So I'm going to try my best and put my best foot forward. But then sometimes the Kansai-ben just, like, slipped out.
Right. But there is one factor you're missing here. If you do go to Tokyo and you only speak in Kansai-ben, they're just not going to question it. They don't know how Kansai-ben operates, right? So they're like, oh, you've lived in Japan all your life.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. Sometimes I'm like, I wonder if I could actually pass as, like, oh, I've, like, grown up in Japan all my life. Because honestly, like, I think I've been told to my face before, they're like, you don't seem very Japanese. And I'm just like, I don't know what you mean. I'm 100% Japanese. But I didn't grow up there, so I don't have, like, the same mannerisms and stuff. So it's, yeah, I think that's like, that's been a lot of the root of my cultural identity of just, like, I'm Japanese, but I'm not really Japanese. But I don't know, but, like, I think it's also just, like, it's not even about, like, ethnicity, but it's just, like, cultural things that you do. Like, I notice that if I'm in Japan for a long time, I start, like, covering my mouth when I talk a lot more. Like, I start talking like this more because that's a thing that Japanese people do.
Do you laugh? Like,
yeah, when you laugh like this, or, like, you always have, like, a hankachi near you at all times for whatever reason. And it's just, like, it's very Japanese mannerism. And so it's like, whenever I went to Japan over the summer, I learned all that. And then I came back and then they were like, what are you doing with that handkerchief? And I'm just like, it's useful for everything. Why don't you have one?
Oh, so you still do it? Or did you get back and you're like, get that out of here. I don't know what you're talking about.
Honestly, yeah. Sometimes I think when I was in high school, I was a little bit like more self-conscious. So I'd just be like, yeah, sorry. I've just been in Japan for like the last month or so. And like, I would like slip into like my American ways really fast. And then nowadays I'm kind of just like, no, but actually like handkerchiefs are OP. Like they're pretty nice to have around. So like, why not? You know? And I think that's cause I'm more confident in myself and all that. I'm older and whatever. I'm not in high school anymore, right. But yeah.
Wait, imagine saying like eh in like an English conversation.
Dude. Like, oh, you know, what's actually something that I actually do is, and I don't know if this is super like unnatural to do in English, but like, you know how in Japanese, when people are listening, you do like the unazuki a lot, where you're like, like you right, just do that to like right. show that you're listening. Right. I do that in English too, because I think it's polite kind of to just be like, I am engaged in this conversation. I'm listening to what you're saying. And then sometimes I stop myself and I'm like, is that annoying? Are people used to that? Is that a very Japanese thing? But it's one of those things that I'm just like, I like that about myself. And I'm just going to keep doing it. And it might be just one of my quirks, I guess, that people encounter.
Right, right.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you got to do what you got to do out here. That's how it is.
Yeah. Yeah. America is just like a melting pot. So why not bring everything about you to the world, you know? So yeah. That's how I'm going about it. I'm just like, dude, who's really gonna care? As long as I'm not making people uncomfortable, then I'm just gonna do me,
you know. I think it'd be pretty funny. Imagine if there's like a Japanese mannerism school, like, oh, you need to prepare to go to Japan, you need the mannerisms down. It's like a boot camp, like hey
That'd be so funny, dude. But I feel like, okay, so like, my husband's not Japanese, he's Taiwanese American, and like, he's, you know, through being with me, he's like picked up on a lot of that. We watch Japanese TV together, Japanese anime together, he hangs out, he comes to Japan with me and stuff, and like, he knows how to do those mannerisms. And so like, my grandma, for instance, like, doesn't really speak English, obviously, and she can say like, oh, good though, or like, how are you, and stuff like that, right?
Right.
But then like, my husband's like really good at listening in Japanese, so he can do the and like, it fools my family every time, because they're just like, are you actually understanding what I'm saying? And then he's always like, I mean, kind of, because I can gather from context, but not really. I'm just good at listening in Japanese.
Yeah, you learn from the best, right?
I hope so. I hope so. He might have picked up some random kanseiben things too from me. it's definitely a thing. Just like, if you, it's like you don't even have to use words to speak, like, quote unquote speak Japanese, if you can do all of those mannerisms right. There, maybe there is a school. I mean, that's what I like watching the videos that people make on YouTube that are just like, here are the top 10 things you should do in Japan, or you shouldn't do in Japan, or like they're the ones that like try to explain those mannerisms exactly in Japanese culture. And I'm just like, I watch them and I'm like, oh, that thing that I do is a Japanese thing. I actually had no idea. Because it's like, I don't have that third, you know, party perspective sometimes, because it's just like, it's always been a part of my life. And I'm just like, oh, okay. So like, saying eh is like not normal.
Not English.
Not English.
Do you get to like speak Japanese now in your daily life, like in America?
Not that often, I think. I think like I've made it a point. I mean, you know, being content creator and stuff, you know how you can kind of just like do whatever projects you want and like do things that you're interested in. So
you have a Japanese channel.
Right. Yeah. So like, my Japanese channel was kind of an effort for that, of just like, I need to create opportunities for myself. And like, I did a lot of that through work, of just like, I want to I want to make a Japanese channel. I want to just like talk about my Japanese identity and language and stuff through my videos. And so I've been trying to create those moments for myself. And like right now I'm writing a book in Japanese, and that's been like a whole thing for the last 2 years of like learning how to write proper Japanese rather. And so like, I think those have helped. I think just like being where I am in San Diego, there's like really not that many Japanese people around. And then even then, I think like even if I found them, most of the people are either going to be like from Japan or like they're Japanese, but they don't speak Japanese. So like I think I've had a hard time finding people that I like really, truly connect with who like has had similar experiences to me sort of thing. But like, you know, when I was in college, I was part of my college's Japanese Student Association. And that was like an effort to like also be surrounded by Japanese people and like talk Japanese and have that be a part of my life, which is great and all. But like there isn't really anything like that as an adult. And sometimes I'm like, I don't know if language is enough to like want to go out of my way once a week to like a thing right now. Like I'm just like, yeah. If I can watch like Owarai
and go to like the Japanese supermarket.
right. Literally like whenever I go and I'm checking out at the checkout counter place, I'm just like, please speak to me in Japanese. And so I'm always just like, oh, yoroshiku onegaishimasu. And then when I don't do that, they're just like, it's 37.80. And I'm just like, please speak to me in Japanese. I know you're Japanese and I'm Japanese and I want you to talk to me in Japanese. So yeah, I get little moments.
Do you ever go from English to Japanese and you kind of like shock
all the time? Yeah. It's so fun. It's like kind of it's like maybe a little like mean to do this, but it's kind of fun to like do that and see the shock on their faces. Because I'll be like...
Because you know it's a whole niche, right, on YouTube.
Right. Yeah, totally. Yeah, because they're like, oh, I'm going to go speak this language fluently to this person. They're going to be like, what? Yeah. No way. And it's like, guess what? People can speak multiple languages. But the Japanese supermarket's a good place to do that. Or just like Japanese restaurants or something. I think it's like it's funny because like whenever I like put a reservation down for a Japanese restaurant, I don't know if I say like when they ask for my name, I don't know if I should say like, oh, my name's Mayuko, or if I should say like, ah, Mayuko desu. Because I'm like, am I going to get different kinds of service depending on if I'm like, you know, like if I say things one way or the other, which most of the time it really doesn't matter. It doesn't make a difference at all. So it's just a matter of me like flexing a little bit and just being like, hey, speak to me in Japanese, because I haven't spoken Japanese all week. So yeah.
Like the expected result is that they hear you on the phone, they're like,
yeah, that's the expected result. That's so funny. Yeah. But yeah, I think it's hard. I think it's easier to do in college, and I think as an adult it gets harder sometimes to practice Japanese. But honestly, like the internet's a lovely place, I feel like, to like do that and practice things. And you know, I try my best to watch like Japanese TV as often as possible, because I think the other thing too is I notice that even if I'm not speaking Japanese, if I'm just inputting it and I'm exposing myself to it, then naturally I'll speak better, which actually is so funny. We were talking about One Piece before we were recording, right? If I watch tremendous amounts of One Piece in a given week, my speaking ability is so good.
Right.
And sometimes I surprise myself because I'm like, I'm in like at a meeting or something and I'm like, dude, Japanese is like flowing today. Like, why is my Japanese flowing? And then I think about it, I'm like, it's because I watched 20 hours of One Piece this week. Even though anime Japanese is not, quote, real Japanese, right? Because it's like exaggerated and stuff. But the exposure really helps. I think that it checks something in my brain where it's just like, yo.
Yeah.
Japanese sentence structure, Japanese intonation, vocabulary. Here you go. Let's refresh it.
Maybe only you think it's flowing and then everyone else thinks you sound like One Piece.
Maybe I'm saying very like anime-like stuff where I'm just like, eh.
Everyone's like, that'd
be hilarious.
Does she think she's like an anime?
Does she know that this is like not an anime? Like, why is she doing this?
but on the that'd outside, so they're like,
nice. Yeah. They're like, oh, Nihongo Jozu
desu ne. Do you get told like Nihongo Jozu?
I do, yeah. And then they're like, oh, like, how do you, like, oh, 日本語上手ですね, 英語も上手ですね, and I'm just like, yeah, I mean, I didn't really put much effort into it because I grew up speaking it, but thanks, I'll take the credit, I guess. But it's kind of awkward because I know the connotation of that sentence is really weird.
Wait, you got Eigojozu?
Yeah, I get Eigojozu and I get Nihongojozu, so I'm like, I can't win here.
Wait, you being disrespected on the dailies? What's going on?
Literally, yeah, because like they're so intrigued always when I do that flip-flop of English and Japanese, and they're just like, why are you so good at English? And I'm like, I grew up in America. And they're like, why are you so good at Japanese? And I'm like, because I'm Japanese and I have Japanese parents. And they're like, but why? And I'm like, I don't know.
This just sounds like shocking gone wrong.
yeah, literally. And they're always like, and then
languages.
Yeah, and then usually if it's like a obasan type, like they'll be like, how can I do this with my kids? And I'm just like, I don't know, lady. Like, I know nothing about what my parents did. I know that I hated going to Japanese school, and that's about it. And I'm grateful that they did all this. But, yeah, I get a lot of that, like, often. And then, you know, I always do the thing. I'm just like, ah, yeah, 全然もうなんか日本語とか全然最近喋ってなくて上手じゃないんですよ. And they're just like, yeah, もう本当に上手だよ. And I'm just like, okay.
Did you ever run into the Japanese person that refuses to speak Japanese?
Oh, yeah, right? Where you're like, just, you're speaking Japanese to them, and then they're like, speaking English to you, and I'm like, I'm literally trying to make it easy for you. Like, I speak your language, and then they're just like, they just speak English to me, and I'm just like, do you have something against me? Like, I don't understand. It's so awkward.
Yeah, just gotta be like, 英語わかりません.
Yeah. True. How are you? I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I could totally see them just bring out the entire conversation in katakana English, though, which would probably be the worst outcome.
Yeah, and like, literally, I'm kind of just like, it's like, you know, both, like, they're trying to be like hospitable, you know, and like, right. Like, 気使ってる for me, and I'm 気使ってる for them, and being like, listen, I understand Japanese, but it's just like, neither of us are willing to budge. And so it's just like hospitableness versus hospitableness, and like, neither are willing to actually take it, kind of thing. And so we're like speaking two different languages to each other, and both of us are having a hard time. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, just like, take it already. Stop being so nice. Yeah.
It's almost like the polite battle when paying for the bill, you know?
It is. Like, Yeah. It's just like, please, just let me do this for you. And they're like, no, let me do this for you. And I'm just like, stop. I can see you're struggling.
it always ends up with the, oh, let me go use the bathroom. And then all of a sudden you come back and the bill is paid, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. We were talking about the One Piece input earlier. And a lot of people on our podcast are very deep into immersion learning and getting in the input to then have the optimal, well, maybe we'll say the One Piece output for the sake of our conversation. But yeah, like, would you say, because you mentioned One Piece is one, but would you say anything else really helps you get into the Japanese flow?
I mean, like, any type of Japanese TV helps me. So I do like watching Japanese, like, drama and like variety and stuff like that. Honestly, one of the best parts of a Japanese variety shows is that it's like, it comes with subtitles. Like, they don't mean to subtitle it, you know, but in order to like make a point, they like literally spell it out at the bottom. And you're just like, thanks, I learned a new kanji today because you guys said this thing. Like, because they're making fun of someone or whatever. So yeah, I try to watch those as best as like can and as often as I can. I get like TV Japan for all the stateside people, like the Japanese channel that you can get through your cable subscription. And so I watch like NHK shows through that. I also listen to a lot of Japanese music. I think like Japanese music was like really hard to get a hold of for a long time because of the whole like licensing stuff. But like 3 or 4 years ago, Spotify especially just got on it. I think probably all the music streaming services did, but I use Spotify. So I noticed that like all of these Japanese songs and artists were coming onto the platform, and I was like, dude, finally, I don't have to like ask my grandma to send me a CD of this artist anymore and buy a CD player and like get that onto my phone anymore. So like, I think, yeah, I listen to a lot of Japanese music as well. So yeah, I think it's mostly those two, like TV and music really help. And then like, Honestly, one of the best ways that I learned kanji was going to karaoke a lot, which we don't do because COVID. Well, maybe nowadays because COVID is getting better. But like when you memorize the lyrics of something phonetically, like audio, and then you go to karaoke and you see it written out, like literally I was just like, oh, that's the kanji for this word and that's the kanji for this word. So I built up a lot that way. And then, yeah, I think like just calling my parents once a week too helps. But I mean, majority is really just TV and music, I think.
Right, right. All right, guys, yeah. Make sure you don't call Mayuko's parents. But if you guys want to go to karaoke, that is a good, that is the way to go. We're starting the raid on the karaoke. For immersion.
I mean, you know, the other thing, like, Japanese YouTube, too, has become more of a scene, I think. Like, honestly, in the last year or two, there's, like, way more Japanese channels now. And I've, like, created a YouTube profile for myself where the algorithm now feeds me only Japanese content.
Oh, nice.
Which, you know, is helpful.
That's like a language learning tip that a lot of people.
Yeah, it's so helpful. Yeah. And, like, I love watching just like all, like, it goes so deep now, and like there's so many different kinds of YouTube channels, and I tend to watch like the bridge the gap between Japan and America channels because they're interesting to me. But I also watch like Seikatsu-tekina, like here's like this guy baking bread, here's this person cleaning, and like they have like some really nice takeaways that they write out and stuff. Or like I also watch like family channels on YouTube too. And, like, I think, honestly, it came out of a lot of that, like, watching, like, real people and their content on YouTube probably came out of watching a lot of Terrace House back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Because, dude, Terrace House, when it came out, like, the Netflix version, I watched so much of it. And that, to me, was just like, is this how young people speak in Japan? Is this what they're like? Is this what they do? Is this what their mannerisms are? So I consumed the heck out of Terrace House. And also Ainori, too. Like, those were my mains.
I think this is a good spot where I know a lot of the Korekara listeners have been waiting for this moment. They've been waiting for you to drop the message of knowledge. And I know you've been working on this message since you were back in Japanese school, way, way, way back when. Back when you were a lot younger, back moving through everywhere, going from San Diego to the Silicon Valley, back to San Diego. Now I know you have the perfect message, Mayuko. So I'm ready, and everyone else is ready to go and hear this right now. So I'm going to put all the bright lights onto you right now so we can hear the message.
Wait, what's the message? What should I guess, because everyone, like, probably a lot of people are listening and they're language learners, I think my message will be ganbariya.
Perfect.
You don't often hear ganbatte in the Kansai accent, so there it is.
Hey guys, thanks for making it to the end of the podcast. Comment down below if you understood Mayuko's native Hogan.
But of course, we also have to shout out our patrons: Senator Gorin, Kevin Allen, Darren, Drew, Jack, Joey, Cage, Johnny, Meredith, MKSX, Polar, Suzu, Bui, Sad Boy, and Rin Versus Jump. And...